The following program, Game On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for nerds all across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
ComicBento.com. They are our newest sponsors for Flame On, and they want you to know about their original graphic novel subscription service. If you go to ComicBento.com, you can save $5 off any subscription. You can get new and original graphic novels from big name creators to indie unsung heroes. Try it out. Let them know what you think. Cancel it if you don't like. But put in code name Nerdy, and not only will you save $5, you will help us continue to bring original content to Flame On. ComicBento.com, code Nerdy. Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I'm here with my cast of cohorts, colleagues, and
constituents.
Well, that works. I was going to go with coworkers. That doesn't almost well, kind of works. Anyway, let's see. Going clockwise from my position here at I don't know, was that 4 o'clock?
Why do we need to go clockwise?
I just want to.
Like they don't.
I like visual. I'm a visual guy.
I like clockwise.
It's visual. It's
listen, perfect for an audio show. Visual.
Hey, we got video coming too. All right. We got Pat to my left.
What's going on, everybody?
And then there's Oral.
That's me.
And then there's Jeff.
Please call me Big Daddy Jeff.
That's true. You have bread.
I have.
And then we have BJ.
Save the moth for last.
What's the moth?
Long.
And that's it. We're all here. Except for Eric, who doesn't love us anymore.
He loves us.
Does he love us?
He's very busy.
He is very busy.
Ensuring that he and I get to retire in the lap of luxury.
Wait, how is he doing that for you?
He understands. We made an oath.
There's a plan.
When the come up happens for him, I come up too.
Were these the things that were made in the bowels of the UCF store long, long ago?
I was going to say.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That like was the formative. Like, think of it as like the prehistoric primordial time.
Mm-hmm.
We are here today in 2016, the future.
We call it 2016, thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't get that memo, because we don't use memos in the future. We use, I don't know, what do we use, emails?
Stickies.
Text. Stickies.
Really? It's very low tech. Remember that show, Time Tracks on Fox?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I know that once I hit 2020, I will be good.
What major sci-fi? Oh, this is way off the rails. But anyway, we are here to talk about specifically Jessica Jones, aka Jessica Jones, or Alias, if you want to use all the different titles.
But not the J.J. Abrams show Alias.
Right. No, which is a great show. We should actually do a thing about that. I love that show.
Yeah.
But this is the most recent Marvel Netflix show all about the character Jessica Jones, created by Brian Michael Bendis. Michael Gatos. That was the Michael. There's too many Michaels in their
Michael
names.
Michael Bendis, Brian. Michael, Brian, Bendis, Gatos, Michael.
All the names Bendis are there. You just have to put them in the right order. It's a puzzle.
It is.
Now, this came out back in November, I believe, right before Thanksgiving.
Sounds about right. November 20th.
Yeah.
And a lot of us binge watched it pretty much immediately, but
as is our God-given right on Netflix.
Some of us took a little longer. I don't know who. Did we all watch it right away?
I pretty much finished it.
Okay, I know we did.
Yeah,
we
did. Me too. Yeah.
So we just now are getting around
we
to
waited a day or two. We waited like a day and a half. Then we're like, well, I guess we should. Oh my God.
Yeah, and then the roller coaster of your eyeballs commenced. It was a great show. I think, let's just go around real quick. Did we all like it? Yes? Anybody not like it?
Yes, I liked
enjoyed it.
We all have our criticisms and problems and things we thought could have been better, but let's start with what we... let's start with what we really liked. We'll lead with the positive. I'm a Michael or Mike. I have Michael in my head. Why do I have Michael's?
Anyway, Kristen. Whoa, Kristen. What's,
Kristen? No, no. I wasn't starting with her. We'll get to her.
Okay. Can we start with the sex that broke the bed?
Well, actually, let's start with that because we're a gay podcast. We're fans of certain types of sexual activity.
Well, okay, all kinds. Well, obviously, you have proof.
Exactly.
The scene that I clapped, I may have outwardly expressed some excitement for.
Yeah!
That was the murder of crows?
That was not it. That was when Mockingbird brought out her thing. No. So if you've read Alias, and you don't have to enjoy the series, by the way, you do remember that very early on, Jessica has anal sex with Luke Cage, which is not depicted visually as much as sort of, well, it's visually her reaction to having anal sex. Which, when I read this comic a few years ago, this was the first time I think I had ever seen that in a comic book.
I thought he was going to say ever.
Almost. No. Anyway, when the show decided fairly early on, I think it was the first episode, in fact, to actually show that scene in a way, I knew I was on board.
Yeah, we were a couple episodes.
Was it?
Two or three.
Yeah.
But she was like, spying on Luke Cage.
No, that was, I think, the first. Going back.
No. The first one is where she's spying on him and he's wearing the yellow shirt and the jeans to mimic his classic Power Man outfit.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right off of the research that I've done on the internets. The first episode called AKA Ladies Night. You know all the titles, the episodes were AKA whatever? I didn't realize that.
How could you not? It literally says AKA.
I think I wasn't paying attention or something. Anyway, but I am reading.
Netflix autopilot. He just puts it on and goes.
I do. Yeah. I am reading off the intensely scientific Wikipedia, well-researched. And it is
certainly not
literally the first episode. The first episode is when she hooks up with Luke Cage.
Yeah, but they have the anal sex and break the bed until...
Yeah, that's a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a couple in. Okay. They sleep together.
Okay.
But the whole, like, all that craziness isn't until, like, episode two or
three. Oh, that's when they realize they both can, like, not hurt
exactly.
each other.
Yeah.
That's loose. When they... Okay.
Yeah. The best bar.
I'll go with that.
When he goes to turn around and he's like, I'm going to hurt you. She goes, no, you won't. And then flips over. Yeah.
So that's a pretty sexy line.
So what did we think of the show?
Well, like I said, when they did that, I knew I was going to enjoy
it. Aside from the anal sex.
No, what I was really excited about for was David Tennant. Being a Doctor Who fan, seeing the 10th Doctor as a villain, not this is the first time, but seeing him portray a character who I really didn't care much about, Purple Man, Kilgrave, not, what was the name
Zebediah.
They gave him?
Zebediah.
Yeah, Zebediah, not Derek. What was his name? Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin. They changed him from Zebediah to Kevin. And then watching the X-Men animated series, he was in there. There was an episode with Kilgrave.
Yep.
And he was all purple. I was like, aw. And they called him Zebediah.
Well, Zebediah just won't cut it in a British, given that they've changed his nationality to British. British.
I don't think his parents had that accent, did they?
Yeah. Very English.
So,
I didn't care much about them.
That was my favorite thing. I mean, the whole show was great. I really enjoyed it, but seeing Tennant, you know, get to do that. And, you know, everything else is great. What did you think, Matt? What did you like?
It was my favorite thing of 2015 in our recap episode. So, I mean, I loved it. I wasn't a huge Daredevil fan. I watched it. I got through it. I moved on. I was like, all right, cool. Not the worst thing I've seen. Not the best thing I've seen. Then we started watching Jessica Jones, and I was hooked immediately. It was done in such a way that I think it's a female quasi-hero? Because she's not really a superhero. Or is she really a hero?
She was for a hot minute.
Yeah.
We don't know about this, though. She was. That's not part of the show at all.
Like, she wore a taco outfit.
She was. She tried doing the superhero for a day, and then
they showed the flashback of it.
It was like a day of stopping a mugger, and then it's like, oh yeah, here's Kilgrave. That was a nice run.
Womp womp.
But that was all shown through flashbacks. Like, the show starts with her being tormented and all of that. So, but it really was just kind of this badass, bad attitude, drinks to high heaven, and has, you know, just a bunch of sex. And I was like, that's my superhero right there. This is the prototype of what I want my comic books to be.
The Angie girl?
Yes. Is that what they call?
But I'm gonna wear that skin tight, like oil slick looking one piece that Darian Lake wore.
Oh my god,
that's my type of Banshee girl. No, it's not. No, overall, I loved it. It was one of those that I binge watch a lot of times because it's just compulsive. This I binge watched because I wanted to.
I was worried you weren't gonna really be into it, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to make him watch another show he didn't like. But, yeah, you took to it really well. In fact, you took to it more than I did. I liked it, but I still kind of prefer Daredevil.
I was like, bitch, we got to turn on, we got to do Jessica Jones. We got 3 episodes left. Let's go.
I had to stop you because you were like, oh, there's 2 more. We got to finish. I'm like,
oh. It's 1 a.m. Shut it! Too late. We can go to bed at 4. We're adults.
Or what did you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I like David Tennant as Kilgrave. I have nothing against his portrayal. It was great. But seeing him be Kilgrave and just seeing him being really mad as the doctor.
Exactly.
And having no companion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not saying that's, you know, derivative. One of my favorite actresses is Natalie Dormer, and she plays pretty much that same type of person in any, like, period piece. And I'm totally fine with that. That's what I want to pay for. That's what I want to see. I thought all the characters were really great. I love Trish. Trish,
yes.
stole the show for me.
Trish Walker,
who's Hellcat, and nobody likes Hellcat.
I like Hellcat.
Nobody.
You know I like Hellcat because you put Hellcat in my poll.
Yes, I know. I know that's. I know you do. But as I
nobody but me.
Nobody likes important Hellcat. Likes Hellcat.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I didn't really see until they called her Patricia, and then I'm just like, oh my god, she's Patsy. And then seeing her like Disney Channel ass, it's, you know,
Miley Cyrus.
Oh my god.
And I was too old to find that interesting, but I love that I'm old enough to find it really cheesy and corny, and it instantly struck a chord with me. And like seeing her navigate this world where, you know, she's not taking a back seat, she's not the night nurse, even though I really like her. Like, she's just like, I'm in it to win it. Like, I'm going to take care of myself from the get-go. We had that bitch don't open the door moment. And I really like how she centers everything. And Jessica, you know, Trish isn't the everyman. She's not the lens that we see through Jessica. But they're both still kind of lost in it. And I like that as a journey of, like, two friends overcoming, you know, obstacles, as opposed to I'm here for support. Because, like, Trish isn't there for support. She saves the day.
Jim?
I liked it better than Daredevil, because I think early on, I had said one of the complaints about Daredevil was the pacing, where not a lot happens for the first 10 episodes, and then everything happens in the last 2. This one had much better pacing through the first 2/3 of the season, then kind of slowed to the last. It had a little trouble finishing, but once it did, it was a great ending. Performance-wise, everybody did a really good job. David Tennant was great, but like you said, it's kind of like it's hard to see him as anything but the Doctor. Just because, now that he's got a bunch of period performances, I thought the same thing when he was in Fright Night and he was doing the
Chris Angel?
Yeah, Angel via, what's his name, from Planet of the Apes?
Oh,
Roddy McDowell.
Yeah, Roddy. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Kristen Ritter did a really good job, and last time I'd seen her on anything was Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23, and I liked her in that.
It's like I've not watched that.
It's a funny show, and she did just enough of a similar performance in this one to be like the kind of edgy, just smartass, but, you know, a lot more damage. And yeah, I actually read Alias way back when and was a big fan of that. So the fact that Marvel was willing to get that close to the source material on a Netflix show, I have much respect for them, because their movies are playing it much safer than this show did.
Well, this show started as an ABC show. Actually, I think even before that, it was on a different network, like FX or something. And ABC eventually kind of got a first look at it and passed, because they're like, yeah, no, this isn't our show.
Yeah,
and now...
they do AKA Jessica Jones. Right. AKA Jessica Jones. She's a sassy detective. Working in Hell's Kitchen.
Well, and to its benefit, because if it had been on that network, it would be nothing like what it was.
Oh, yeah.
It'd
yeah.
be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Here we go.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not the S.H.I.E.L.D. with Michael Chiklis.
I said it'd be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it would be a lot more like, yeah, you're right.
Actually, one of the things I didn't realize until like 5 episodes into her appearing was Patsy's mom, Rebecca De Mornay.
Wow.
From Risky Business.
Holy
and
crap.
All those movies.
I had no idea.
Like, wow. You know, old actresses of bone. But yeah, no. I liked it.
BJ?
I kind of have it on the same kind of even pedestal as Daredevil. Because even though the pacing in Daredevil was a bit more, the pacing in Jessica Jones was a little better. But I like it in the fact that it treats the whole Netflix... like Marvel universe sort of thing. It's I mean, it's in the same place as all the other Marvel stuff out there. Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. But it's pretty much like how would you see a famous person, you know, on TV? You don't see them like pooping and shit. Like you see them saving the day. You see them doing good shit.
And then you're like, that green guy. Hey, the green guy.
Yeah, you're like, oh, hey, I like that guy with the hammer. He's pretty cool. Like, so it
street level.
Yeah,
that's the term everybody in comics loves is street level.
It's very street every level, man, very or honest.
Every person.
You know, the episode where she had like two regular people that just hate people with abilities come after her.
AKA 99 Crabs.
So
that was a weird episode because it was very discongruous or from the other ones as far as the story, and kind of like there was like a diversion they decided to do. They didn't do a lot of those, but right. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a diversion. I would say that it fits with the theme and the motif of you have these people who have these amazing abilities in this what used to be the normal world, and you know, people find issues with everything. So why wouldn't you have that segment of society that says, you know, I don't feel safe, or I blame these people for all the destruction that happened to New York, specifically Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they don't look at the other side, which is, hey, you know, yes, a lot of collateral damage happened, but we would all be dead if it wasn't for that.
Exactly.
You don't get that.
Well, and it was still also, it was a good reflection because at that point, Jessica's character was pretty much so fried from all the fucking with that Purple Man had been doing up till then that everywhere she looked, she thought it was because of him.
Right.
Anything coming at her was going to be because of him.
It did add to that a little bit. The show's pacing is interesting because I actually didn't ever find Daredevil to be too ponderous. I actually liked the buildup of the villain. And in Jessica Jones, I liked the buildup of Kilgrave up until they actually showed Kilgrave.
Because they didn't show him until like episode 5.
You saw current. Flashes. You saw just like brief little like memories or like, yeah, flashes
or
of purple.
You'd hear him from like offset or right. off the screen.
Jessica!
Or from behind, or from like they'd have a shot of him from behind.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, and so in a similar way, I like that for its pacing. What I didn't like, and I think it's where you, Jeff, were saying, is the end of the series felt very, oh, they have him, oh, they don't. Oh, wait, they have him, oh, wait, no, they don't. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, wait, now they don't. Now they're doing this other thing with this guy called Simpson, who
Nuke.
From the comics we know as Nuke. Like, that's where I was kind of like, okay, where, what are you doing with all this, you know, what they called it, IGS or whatever, IGH? Yeah, IGH.
Yeah, IGH.
Because
yeah.
I guess in the comics it's mutant growth hormone, but it's a different thing. And in this, the theory someone put out there was
inhuman growth hormone
or something. Anyway,
I can't say the word mutants.
Right. And then, so like, who knows where that's all going to go, I guess, in the future. But it that felt like sort of a weird arc to have in addition to the main one. But with a 13 episode, that's all right?
Yeah.
It seems like you have to have a little bit more of a secondary story. But like Patsy's story was amazing. I really enjoyed anytime she was on screen and all the stuff with her mother and their shared history. All of the supporting cast, even the weird neighbors.
The tenants, yeah.
The incestuous brother-sister twin weirdness and then I can't think of his name, I'm going to find it real
Malcolm.
Quick. Malcolm.
Loved Malcolm.
The art
Notice that, how you don't remember the people of color.
I didn't remember the neighbor's name either.
Hey, Luke Cage. Bam.
I know Luke Cage.
Got
Which
that one
was Luke Cage, Brian? Can you give me a description?
Bar owner. He was the bar owner. He was a fine-ass motherfucking bar owner.
Mike
right?
Coulter. It's the actor's name.
No, like, I love the supporting cast that they had, and I like that Malcolm's arc was really kind of a cool progression from what you thought was one thing to something completely different. And I absolutely love that. I think the most of all the characters' development. The only one who I really just, every time she was on the screen, I couldn't stand her was the sister.
Of the
Ruben
two.
Ruben's sister?
Ruben's sister, yeah. I just, every time, she just, but I mean, she's meant to be that. She's meant to be a kind of a creepy, weird, over-the-top kind of character. But it was almost a caricature, I guess, at some point.
She's an annoying neighbor. She's that person in the building that thinks she knows all
she's
the...
She's Mrs. Kravitz.
There you go.
Yeah.
Except at the end, or the last thing that they do when they go to the water, and like that
calms her down.
Finally.
For the most part. And yeah. Well, yeah. Because then the whole scene with the delivery woman was before that. And then they go to the water. And it, hopefully, if they do bring her back for season two, she'll have rounded the edges off of it. Not be so crazy.
I mean, that's the one thing about this show, though, is you can't help but compare it to Daredevil because this is the first. This is the, these are the first two. So every time, anything you saw as maybe a perk of Daredevil, like the fight choreography, it doesn't. It wasn't as good because it's not meant to be in Jessica Jones. But then there are so many more tense scenes in Jessica Jones, purely based on what Kilgrave's powers were. Like the scene at the police station halfway through the season,
where
he's basically brainwashed the entire station, except for Jessica. And they're all just sitting there with guns pointed at each other. It's like, that was a great scene.
You know, like, with Daredevil, you get more aggression. Like, aggression is the name of the game. Like, you know, you're going to be aggressive fighting crime and changing the city. You're going to be aggressive in, you know, crushing the different gang factions. And Jessica Jones is about being sinister. It's
right.
About,
there's like, more finesse in the screenwriting.
Yeah. How can you manipulate the people around you? So if Daredevil is manipulating the system, Jessica Jones is about manipulating people. And, you know, what do you find scary? You find being, not in control of your own faculty really scary. And then, like, when you have people who say, you know, come forward and say, it wasn't my fault and no one believes them, or you have people, like, the entire police station, they're like, oh, nope, it was just a joke. Knowing that, like, it's been probably 2 or 3 days since that happened, like, Kilgrave's effect is long gone. And nobody is afraid to say, everyone's afraid to say something because you'll always blame the victim. You'll never blame the victimizer.
And the show did an amazing job of fictionalizing what is basically a survivor story.
Yep.
Specifically, I think, really a rape survivor story. And that is the most powerful thing about the show. I mean, for 13 episodes, you are dealing with this person who is overcoming the trauma that she suffered of being raped, both mentally and physically, to a point. And so that is a huge, like, you don't see that very often apart from, like, some maybe Lifetime movies or ABC. You just don't see that story presented in fictional media, especially not genre.
Well, and that's the crazy part about by the end of the show, where you've seen so much of Kilgrave's background, and then he finally just kind of has it out. He's like, look, I can never trust what anybody does around me because I don't know if they mean it or if it's because of my powers. And you actually get that brief moment where you're like, I feel kind of bad for him.
Yeah. Well,
then he's just a complete dick, and you're like, you know what? Never mind.
There's a whole, like, 2 or 3 episodes where you actually start to sort of sympathize with him, both when they're sort of playing house at one point.
In Jessica's old family home.
Which is...
That is
awesome and creepy.
Awesome and creepy. But then the little brief, let's try being superheroes, like, together.
And he's so proud of his moment when he meets other people. He's like, hey, guess what? I saved somebody.
Like, you definitely, and Tennant, and this is where, as much as Tennant, you know, of course, he is very similar in a lot of his roles. Like, this is where the charm of David Tennant really comes to play. Because any other actor, I don't know, like, if they would have sold it as well. But with Tennant, you really kind of go, yeah, he's actually kind of redeemable. And then, of course, they that falls apart and they go into the imprisonment section of the series.
But I loved that. I loved that whole thing where you know, she takes him on that little adventure and she's like, no, don't hurt people. Help them. And then when he got a taste, you know, but then
just enough to lower his guard.
Just enough to lower his guard. But at the same time, she gets that thought. She goes and sees Trish and she's like, He has the potential to help people, but he has no morality at all.
Right.
Like, what would you do with that kind of power? Like,
and that brings it to, like, what I view as probably the weakest storyline was the Carrie Ann Moss and the lesbian drama.
I wanted to get to that. It was odd, and I'm okay with it, but you knew. It was telegraphed, I think, from almost the beginning. That Carrie Ann Moss's character, who is Hogarth.
Yeah, who's from, the Iron Fist lawyer.
Right, damage control, basically, part of that whole firm in the comics. Like, she, from the beginning, was such a manipulative influence that you could see where she would eventually find a way to use Kilgrave to
get some kind of his DNA. Oh, hey, we have a fetus.
Well, and
take that fetus.
That was a weird turn. But, like, just the whole thing of the lesbian divorce, and I don't know. That
and
was
the
was
actress
weird.
Who played her ex-wife is one who played Calamity Jane from Deadwood. And was like, I know there's
oh
a better
God, yeah,
there's
kidding?
A better performance out of that woman.
Wow, I didn't even recognize her.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. Oh yeah, no, seriously. Now the breakdown, like where that all kind of came to a head with the death by a thousand cuts thing.
Yeah,
that was the best consequence
every
of that
time
whole storyline.
Kilgrave used his powers, it was like in a new and inventive sort of way. And that one was also very sort of, oh, you're just going to start slicing Carrie Ann Moss to death.
Well,
okay.
I didn't mind it because Hogarth is Kilgrave without any powers. Like,
yeah.
And I think it...
That's
it,
a good
for,
point.
For me, it was like a Christmas Carol where she sees herself or she sees Kilgrave and she thinks, I want that.
As a
that
weapon.
That makes
uh-huh.
sense as a weapon.
Yeah.
And she sees what happens. Like, she saves him. She frees him. And in the end, she almost gets killed because of her greed, of her, you know, choosing not to do the moral thing.
Right.
Choosing to do something that benefits solely her. And her happiness. And I that's why I like that kind of like parallel because, you know, Kilgrave needs a boy. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the wig, but like it was just a lesbian drama. Like if they had just done Hogarth in the business sense and not gotten into the personal life and, oh, by the way, she's also sleeping with her assistant and all this other, it just seemed like, okay, you're throwing in sexiness for sexiness sake. On some of the scenes.
But it wasn't sexy.
The
yeah,
initial
it
one
it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, the initial with the two.
Well, there was that one fingering
man,
scene.
That was hot.
Well, the rest of it wasn't.
The rest of it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't played for titillation.
That first scene saw, was.
But aside yeah. from that. Yeah. But that's just kind of to set up a story as, you know, this is not the Hogarth you know from the comics. This is how we're changing the way it's going to be presented here. And then it just kind of goes on to be, you know, ruthless.
I don't know. The whole thing with getting Hogarth's, you're seeing her life. Like, even though it seemed like that from the get-go that, like, you know, oh, they're going to try and sexy this up a bit. But then once you got to know Hogarth, and once you got to know, like, when they had that victims club, you know,
support group.
And everything, and Hogarth, you know, wanted to use them. She's like, you can use them to collect evidence, do this, do that. But then you saw everybody lost something. When they come in contact with him, everybody loses something. Everybody loses with Kilgrave, and she didn't think she had anything to lose. But lo and behold, I mean, she almost lost her career. She lost her fiancé. Hell, she lost her ex-wife, like, in any capacity
yeah.
to ever do anything with her. So, I mean, she lost, like, everything trying to play that game.
Yeah, she thought she had nothing to lose, and she lost everything at
exactly.
the end of it.
And that, I guess that was more of a reinforce that nobody gets away from him.
And by being like him, like Oral was saying, I never saw the parallels between the two, but I absolutely think that's a very key insight in her character, is she was that without morality. Some of the other trappings of the show, like the mother-father stuff with Kilgrave, it was okay. It didn't really ring too true to me. It was just kind of, okay, that's a means to an end.
Right.
The nuke thing, apart from who he is as a character, I wasn't entirely convinced. Like, I was okay with their... Like, oh, so, well, you tried to kill me, but, you know, I know you were controlled. Now we're going to get together. Like, that was okay. I didn't love that, but I kind of saw, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then that they took that and devolved him into just that nuke character. It just...
Well, they devolved him with no reason.
Right, no, exactly.
Yeah, it went from, okay, he was
a beat cop.
And
I mean, you know, it's just like he was way back. He was, I'm just a beat cop.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, by the way, I used to be special forces.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also was in a part of this one program with special drugs. And
mm-hmm.
Like, man, you ended up as a beat cop?
The detective, I can't think of his last name, but like that storyline also felt a little unnaturally ended. But I mean, again, it's time to get a shot.
Some...
No, he's just a few months away from retirement for like 2 years.
Wait, was he getting too old for that shit?
Yeah,
too old for that shit.
He was getting too old for that shit.
Yeah,
was one of the big qualms was that you now have again the black cop
yeah.
that gets killed at the end, towards the end of the series, for no real reason.
Well, and Daredevil was a black journalist.
So then, yeah, you're the black character that gets killed for no older real black, reason.
Close to retirement. That could have been done differently.
Do you
remember
his name?
Ben Urich? Yes.
That was the black guy that died in Daredevil.
I don't remember, like,
because
the detective stars.
White.
He's not that's attractive. Why. That's why I don't remember his name.
Who was that? Vika? Joseph's?
I don't even remember his name. I remember Simpson because he's new. That's hilarious. Anyway, music was fun and effective. I love the opening music, but a lot of the incidental stuff didn't stick with me. Mm-hmm. Michelle Rosenberg. That's Buffy. Michelle
Trachtenberg.
Oh yeah, so that's
she's
her.
You're mixing.
Yeah, Michelle Rosenberg.
Got a Berg at the end. I don't know.
Michelle Rosenberg. As a showrunner, I thought did an okay job. From what I'm seeing with the writer's credits, there were a lot of writers on the show. She's previously done things like Dexter, which I think also had a fairly large writer's room.
What season was she on?
I don't know what seasons she did. She was one of the main showrunners.
Because that's a litmus test of whether the show was good or not.
That's true.
Some later seasons, I wouldn't take credit for
to
that.
Give you any context also, she also did the OC, and she adapted a lot of the Twilight screenplays. But I think this is probably some of her strongest work. Ben.
I mean, hey, and if it's any indication with Daredevil, you know, what they had for the season one of Daredevil, that shifted from like the first episode to the rest of the season. And then once the season wrapped, then it shifted to a whole new guy for season two.
No. Marvel's got a production like system where they can take anybody and work them into what they want.
Well, and I'm kind of curious, though, after the whole snafu with Marvel shakeup and now TV is separate from the movies,
right.
If there might be some more contentment on the movie side, and you'll still see just as much of a heavy turnover on the TV side.
Possibly.
But we'll see.
Yeah. You know, I do want to say that Rachel Taylor for Chris Walker, probably my favorite character of the whole thing. Just I really, really did love her child actress turned radio talk show host thing. Really effective. And I love her wanting to be a superhero by training and earning it kind of Batman style to be really a cool new thing into the Marvel. I don't think any of the other Marvel characters have really done that. Hawkeye to some extent and Black Widow maybe, but like this is the first like Batman equivalent kind of thing, and that she's trying to earn her way into that superhero club.
Well, like Oral said too, that was kind of the redeeming thing is at the end of it all, it wasn't about Jessica overcoming Kilgrave with her powers,
right.
Luke coming in and saving the day. It was basically their friendship is what have them save each other.
Yeah.
So it's not even one saving the other. It's, you know, they were the only way they were able to beat Kilgrave is by actually like working together in a fashion.
Yeah. And
Paul was her love for her sister.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing from the time that she goes into the penthouse, it's like, all right, well, what's something you would never say to me? I love you. And then like you get to that point right at the end. And then she, you know, she says, "I love you," and you're like, "All right." I mean, you knew it was going to happen, but still, it was like you had that suspense, you had that tension. You're like, "Wait, but no, but she can't be, but she, yeah, all right, good, she's not." And then you know, it worked, and it showed that from the start of the season when they were kind of where she pushed her away consistently, that they were able to kind of repair their relationship and show that it is
necessary more than almost any other relationship Jessica has.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I really liked how they treated people's abilities. Like when she found with like the whole thing with her.
Almost like a dirty little secret.
Well, not even that, but just the fact that like how she treats her, she lies to people about her abilities. She's like, she just throws people off.
I do Pilates.
Yeah, like, I do thing. Pilates. Oh,
they
I
don't
want
to
vision.
Own up to it. They don't. Like, even Cage is like, I don't tell this to a lot of people. I don't want them to know.
You know, and then the whole idea when they sit down, one after they finish having sex and realize they have superpowers, they sit down and they're like, he's like, so how'd you get your thing? She's like, accident. She's like, you? He's like, experiment. And then that's it. Like, which is pretty much just one word. They all, and a lot of reviewers are saying, that's probably like the best thing to do, especially when they have that new Spider-Man movie coming out. He can be like Spider-Bite, and people will be like, "Yeah, no, how'd you get your powers?" And he's like, "Spider-Bite." Like,
don't make a big deal of the origin; just move on.
Exactly, and I like that a lot.
Well, the fact that they didn't go overboard cheesy on their special powers,
like until they introduced the IGH files, and then it was like everybody had a little video thing about sitting there being experimented on. Like,
but they didn't emphasize it. It was there, and then it went away from it.
That'll be season two.
Yeah. From the video files, they can introduce a whole bunch of
Well, but the thing is, like, Jessica's flying. They don't focus on, like, cheesy flying effects for her. She kind of jumps, and the next thing you know, she's landing somewhere.
She's very Superman in the Golden Age. You know, leaping tall buildings in a single bound, not flying everywhere.
Hovering.
And she doesn't out-and-out tell people she can fly. She's like, oh, I can just jump
really high. Controlled falling, which, you know.
Yeah. So it's a nice little, I mean, that goes into her investigative background. She's like, why would I tell everybody all my shit? Like,
that was also a nice thing. As far as a show depicting a private investigator, I think they did a pretty good job in that a lot of it's just waiting and watching and looking online and digging. I mean, you're researching. And Oral, I don't know if you have, you know, you want to talk about your past in that sort of area.
Oh, yeah, no, that's pretty much what it is.
Did it feel?
It's pretty accurate to say that, you know, when you are surveilling someone, you do a lot of sitting and watching. And there will be hours where nothing happens. Because you think, like, oh, like, I'm just going to stay home today. Yeah, I'm a person of interest, but I'm just going to stay home today. I don't plan on leaving. Mm-hmm. You're just watching the house. I may come out to, like, take out the trash or get the mail and come back in. But you've been there for, like, 12-plus hours, and that's all we've done.
You mean it's not like Bones or CSI where you just happen to stroll up and they're doing the exact thing that you're trying to catch them in that moment?
I like the time-lapse one. They did the montage with her and Luke Cage waiting for them at the research firm or whatever. I was like, yep. I love the way they use Luke Cage. I'm sad that, you know, again, we've spoiled a lot already, so I don't think anybody's going to mind.
I mean, it's a show about the show.
They don't get together in the end, but it doesn't close the door on that either. It just kind of lets him off on his own adventure and, you know, the new series coming out, I guess, next year sometime about Luke Cage probably won't focus on their relationship at all.
Next year, you mean this year. This is 2016.
I know.
In the future.
Which,
by the way, Daredevil is not coming out in April.
It's March.
It's coming out in March.
That's exciting. Everybody
speculated that it would come out a year after. Now they're bumping it up because, as I mentioned on an earlier podcast, how are you going to incorporate multiple seasons and have, at the end of it, 5 shows that you're going to have to juggle? You're going to eventually, if you have multiple seasons, have the entire year be something.
Yeah,
because you're going to have this come out then, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And so they're apparently pushing Daredevil up, I guess, to make room for Luke Cage, to then have Jessica Jones, because we still haven't cast Iron Fist, which then that'll show up eventually.
And then the Defenders show.
And then the Defenders, It's an interesting problem that they have. It's a good problem, but...
it's a great problem for us, because they're producing quality Netflix content.
Yeah.
You know, you've got divisive television, you've got mostly positive movie with some, you know, lesser fantastic things overall, but they've produced 2 quality shows on Netflix, so we want more of these stories, because we want to see where is Jessica going to go now that Malcolm is cleaned up and apparently going to be her assistant?
Yeah.
Assisting her?
Yeah.
Assistanting her? And then you're going to have Daredevil pick up. You've got Nightmare showing up in both of them. So because there was talk about them being possibly done, not like Jessica Jones happening before Daredevil, but then the introduction of Nightmares at the end shows that it's not. It's concurrent because she makes the comment about, you know, I have a friend.
Right.
So you know that this show took place at the same time as Daredevil. So for them to not know each other is a little awkward.
And evidently, Nightmare shows up in Luke Cage's show as well.
She's going to show up in all of them.
Yeah.
She's going to be one of
them. So they will be sort of sequential. Probably.
Yeah, she's going to be a big threat.
And,
I mean, she kept her... They talked about card and everything.
With the new season of Daredevil, if Punisher hits as well as they all swear...
They want to do a Punisher
show. The Daily's like, oh my god, he's going to be amazing when you see him. Like, they could do a Punisher show.
Yeah.
There was talk about them not doing Iron Fist and doing Punisher.
Yeah.
But Marvel...
They figured that out.
Marvel has said, no, they're going to go with Iron Fist. But... You know, if they do Punisher, fantastic. I mean, it's more content for them to work with.
Can I just say, Rosario Dawson, this is the best thing I've ever seen her in. And I've seen her in a lot of different things, and I've been like, I don't even care.
You didn't like her in Alexander?
I don't think I saw Alexander.
The one with Colin Farrell?
No, I don't think I saw that one. But I love her as Night Nurse. I really
and Val Kilmer.
I love her as Night Nurse. I think she is fantastic, and I want to go back and reread Doctor Strange, The Oath.
Yeah, that was good.
And pretend it's Rosario Dawson, because she's awesome.
Well, now Claire Temple has been introduced into current Marvel continuity.
I thought she had been.
No, Claire Temple is the was kind of the amalgamation of two different characters.
Yeah.
Now we have Claire Temple, the Night Nurse, in the proper Marvel canon.
What book do they do that in?
Oh, I forget which one it is. Do you know, Laurel? I just remember reading the article about it.
They're
saw it come
sneaking
up on
these things in, like they introduced the guy from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Hunter.
That one, they didn't. Oh, they.
No, yeah,
I was
they actually.
Say, when they did Coulson, they never didn't
no,
sneak
no, Coulson
that
wasn't
in.
A sneak. That was a big
old shoehorn.
Animated series, everything there.
So I think overall we can all say that it was a great show. We want more of this. We're really happy that they told the kind of story they were able to tell. Very true to Bendis's vision and Gatos' vision of the character, but also in a way that was really good television. Yeah. So.
And they didn't go with the... Was it the hard...
What?
PG-16?
Yeah, PG-16 or something like that. What? Or NC-16, whatever it was called?
Yeah.
NC-17?
No. It was Marvel's creative little...
Jesus. Yeah, it was like an NC-16 with Daredevil, where it was gory and it had this... But it held back, and it wasn't the full-out, like...
I wouldn't let your kids watch this show.
Oh, no,
there's
was,
a lot of sex.
I would say, with the violence near the end of the show, with the way people were killing each other, this was an R.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
was
a
mature rating.
The sex, this was... They threw
the
that
wonderful
rule.
Wonderful amounts of bourbon.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Every other shot, which was also awesome, so...
Every other shot was a shot. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Again, my kind of superhero.
Exactly.
And the fact that before we sign off of this, the homages to the actual
costumes
between like we had mentioned from the get go with Luke Cage in the first episode being in the yellow and blue
in a very uncomfortable position. Oh, that too.
Sorry too. But then when they're doing, as Jeff had alluded to, when they were going into this I'm going to be a superhero montage flashback with Trish and Jessica.
Hey, I got you a costume you can wear.
I'm like, ooh. And she's like, you call yourself Jewel. That's a stripper name. So the fact that they like to kind of bring some of those things up, it is sad that they don't do a lot of costuming. And that they're not going with a lot of like the traditional looks. Although Daredevil's costume is going to change in season 2.
Although, and also like, the closest you got to Purple Man was at the end when he took that last injection to boost his powers and he got
the purple veins. Blood vessels.
That was
a nice effect.
If he did purple skin, that would have looked so hokey if he had a whole season worth of that.
Yes. But if at the end, and Brian had said this when we were watching it, he thought that when he got angry like that, that there was going to be a hue, and even if it was just for that last little bit, that would have at least been like the perfect homage to the actual purple skin character from the comic.
Yeah.
But not doing it in the entire season. Probably one of the better movies.
Yeah.
Especially because you can't just walk around Hell's Kitchen with purple skin. Like, what's up, guys?
The fuck is up with that guy? A California raisin? Anywho.
But I like that they did a lot of... And I mean, it's commonplace now to do all these Easter eggs about the comics. But, you know, like the Jewel thing was probably one of the funniest.
That was my
favorite.
Like,
I'm going to hold up this costume.
Yep.
Here you go.
That was all you needed to do.
And we're going
to
make fun of it, and we're going to put it away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was our thoughts on Jessica Jones. If you have any questions or comments or thoughts of your own, please go on to social media and share them with us. Flame On Podcast on Twitter, Flame On Show on all the various social media, and Flame On.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, including Club Oral, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. Be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame On all your favorite social networks. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.